Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 years or older.
Welcome, Extra Points listeners, and congratulations on making it through yet another week. Good news, the weekend awaits with its enchanting promises of endless sports and free time, then ends up with you screaming silently at some jerk in the Costco parking lot instead. Or maybe I'm just projecting. Either way, we know how hard you work, and while we hope listening to all our shows makes that time go a little faster, we don't want that to feel like work in and of itself. So we've had our producers pick out their favorite bits and put them together in a half-hour supercut for you to sample. I know, I can't believe we have producers either. If you like something, check out the full episode the next week wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, thanks for supporting the network. And let me just say from the bottom of my heart as the co-founder that I sincerely hope your favorite team still loses to mine. Enjoy the shows.
Well, since it's NFL draft week, we have to start with the NFL draft talk. So myself and Toby Mergler on Trendy joke about why it would make sense for an NFL team to draft strictly offensive linemen in an upcoming draft.
Well, speaking of runs, I only get to give my hot take once a year, and I'm going to give it to you. I don't think I've ever given you this one, Eddie. I've given you lots in both private and public conversations, but I got one of my crazier ones. And by the way, this is prima facie evidence that I'll never be an NFL GM. Not that I ever thought I was a candidate, but I would love to see an NFL GM just one time try this. The entire draft, offensive line. You take 8 offensive linemen in one draft. You do not draft any other positions. You say you guys are a unit. You know, 5 of you guys are going to make it. I've got 1 for injury cover, whatever it might be. And like, you are my offensive line for the next 6 years. Lock them into cost control. And then say, well, you guys are going to build together. This is it. This 2024 draft, I built a cost controlled, amazing offensive line. And then think about that, what that does. Like, you know, you don't have to draft a quarterback number 1 or 2 overall, because you might be able to get like a 30-year-old who can be kept clean, who could probably do a job better than the rookie could do, and an even cheaper contract than the rookie scale. You get a running back that's not Henry. You know, you go get one of these guys that bounces around, but you know, they can hit an open hole or whatever it might be. And you have so much money left to dedicate to weapons that on the outside of the ball and the defensive on the edge, on the interior line, at the cornerback position, these other premium places. Like, isn't that one way to take all the Chiefs and do it differently? Like, you know, Sheck talks about that all the time, but I would just love to see somebody sign. Like, we are just drafting offensive linemen. We are going to have the most important unit on the field that performs together as a unit. And we are going to have them for the next half century.
I love that idea. I'm not even just blowing smoke, because I have a great example of a team that really could have and should have done it, and they may have won a Super Bowl by now. But remember a few years back when that loaded Bengals team, when Joe Burrow was sacked like, what, 9 times in the game by the Titans? That team had everything. They had a great defense, great D-line, great secondary. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, you have Mix in there, T. Higgins alike. And then Joe Burrow is getting sacked every other passing play. If they went in that draft and just said, you know, 7 rounds, I don't know how many picks they had, and just O-line constantly, and then those guys went through a full training camp, worked it out. I mean, they made offseason O-line signings because of how bad their offensive line was. So that team in recent memory would have been a perfect candidate to go and do that, because they had pretty much everything else. All the other boxes were checked. And the most important guy in their team, Joe Burrow, was now getting knocked around. It looks what happened to him. Multiple injuries since that point. So that would have been perfect. We should have been hired by the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. And we'll break for our picks right after this, but like, I'll never know if Sam Howell's good. Like, I'll never know. Yeah. Like, I'll never know. Like, you know, you drafted the Capitol. He has some flashes of goodness, but he ran for his life. Like, we'll never actually know if he's good. And a lot of these top 5, top 10 quarterbacks, we'll never know if they would have made it because of the situation they're drafted in and the pressure that they face. And like, Sam Howell, you know, maybe he could have been Mark Rippon. Maybe he could have been a Super Bowl legend for the Commanders. We'll never know because of how much danger he was in all the time.
And another black eye for Major League Baseball during -3, myself, Dave Damashek, and Kevin Hench talk about umpire Hunter Wendelstedt's massive error by ejecting Aaron Boone for something a fan said. In the beginning of the game, Carlos Rodon has thrown 3 pitches at this point. So top of the first, 3 pitches thrown. And what happens? A guy from the stands yells at the umpire, and then he goes, "Aaron Boone, you're out." Aaron Boone goes and says, "Well, that wasn't me." And then the umpire, Hunter Wendelstedt, goes back to him and says, "Oh, I don't care. You're out anyway." And he threw Aaron Boone out. The Yes cameras caught this, that Aaron Boone didn't have his mouth open once throughout the entire thing. And it's one thing, too, if Wendelstedt threw him out, if it was somebody in the dugout, I kind of get that, even though he's wrong here. But it was just a fan, which, by the way, it's really funny. The fan got underneath the umpire's skin that quickly. And what makes it even worse, and we actually did talk about this on one of our anti-umpire ref videos that we posted probably during NFL season, where it's like, what kind of weirdos grow up and go, "I want to be a referee"? Hunter Wendelstedt runs an umpire school where he collects money from prospective umpires. And this guy just ejected Aaron Boone for what a fan did. By the way, also, he's been in the game so long, he ejected Aaron Boone when he was a player on the Cincinnati Reds. So the bad go now goes to Hunter Wendelstedt. That is like, you know, George Costanza gives the gift. That to me, this is like a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm bit where Larry's sitting behind home plate and gets that manager kicked out. So a lot of Seinfeld, a lot of Yankees references here. But I mean, what a weird stretch.
Did you get a load of that clip there, Hench?
I just saw it came on my phone, but I haven't clicked on it. I love the fact it's such a confession by Wendelstedt. Like, hey, do you feel personally good about your umpiring if you're tossing a guy three pitches into the game, or are you on a knife's edge because you know you suck, right? That's the mentality. Good umpire doesn't have a hair trigger. By the
good
way,
point. And also, but also, like,
Hernandez is still umpiring. Like Aaron Hernandez called a ball that was center cut.
Angel Hernandez,
yeah.
Aaron would be better.
Called a ball that was
center cut. You called him Aaron, didn't he? He called him Aaron, didn't he, Spaghetti?
Yeah, he did. And I said Aaron probably would have been better because yeah, Angel Hernandez is, I mean, miserable.
Aaron Hernandez, I mean, check
it. Being interesting, you wouldn't argue. I bet you wouldn't get many arguments from him, right? With him, I mean.
Angel Hernandez versus
Aaron Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez, definitely a better umpire.
I mean, nobody calls now a ball, he's a better umpire.
I mean, well, look, obviously a ball down the middle of the plate, center cut, ball one. Like,
what the hell goes on? But for real, I know everybody likes to talk about Angel Hernandez, but for real, what is the answer to this, Hench? Is it the union? Like, why they can't and aren't the other umpires are like, it's enough already with this guy. At some point, the weakest link is bad for all of us. You know, this is going to hurt our leverage and all that. Doesn't that have to be a consideration?
Weird. I mean, it's funny because I'm in a union and, you know, I'm like an apostate because I'm like, hey, maybe that writer sucks and doesn't deserve to have a job. And I'm always waiting for the cop to be like, hey man, stop doing that to motorists. Like, it's weird that unions protect their worst members. So like,
right,
the,
I guess.
The worst rider, I got to protect the worst rider. The ump's got to protect Angel Hernandez. Like, why? Like, that makes us all look worse at our job. Like, Angel Hernandez deserves a job. No, he doesn't.
It is,
It's bad for unions.
You know, that all the hand-wringing that's going on lately, and deservedly so, about gambling ruining sports, but the credibility of sports is already ruined by these awful officials who we just have to accept. And that's and we are constantly reminded there's nothing you can do about it. Deal with it. And the cucks that are out there, the people who suffer for... I think it was the Metropolitan's broadcaster, like, well, it was a terrible strike and they shouldn't have been called. Like, no one feels worse about that than the umpire does. Like, why are you're making excuses for the umpire? Like, the standard is not the same as the players on the field. These are supreme physical specimens trying to do the near impossible. And so they're going to fail a fair amount of the time. School marms are supposed to be right 100% of the time. All you're doing is sticking to the rules. Just know the rules, and they screw it up all the time. And yet they get a pass because they're out there on the field with athletes trying to do tough things who screw things up a lot. So it's like they're just like all the other people out on the field. They're not going to be perfect. They have to be perfect. It makes me crazy.
So wild that obviously, if we found out that Hunter Wendelstadt or Angel Hernandez or any umpire was betting large sums of money,
that's right,
there'd be an outrage. But he can ruin the game honestly by sucking, and nothing can be done. Like, the outcome is the same for the team that got hosed. Like, you're not good at your job, and we lost as a result. But it's fine as long as you weren't cheating.
As long as you didn't mean it. The umpire who took, what's his name? I don't remember his name anymore because he's not a name that will live for eternity, because the umpire got the call wrong at first base. Galarraga, who threw the perfect game, except that the ump got it wrong. Like, oops.
Jim Joyce. Jim Joyce. And Jim Joyce was actually a good umpire who really had a bad moment at a bad time. By the way, feel free to get that one wrong in the other direction. Feel free to ring the guy up and get, you know, if it's a 50-50 call and you're not sure, which obviously you can't be sure and wrong. So you're kind of guessing, go ahead and give the guy the perfect game, kind of like deep cut here. But Coventry, a second division team, got so hosed in the FA Cup against Manchester United on an offsides call with the electron microscope. So the electron microscope has drawn a line. The guy is, you know, it's American striker Haji Wright is a millimeter offsides. And it's like, you're in the replay booth and you can just go, it's fine. He's on, like, you don't have to,
That's always my point, right?
You can go like, hey, we can have the greatest sports story of all time in Coventry, England, or we can go, I think he's a millimeter offside, you know, like, but, you know, so yes, when you still, like, it's like they can slow it down, they can watch it, and then they can still ruin the game. That's it's.
I don't, you know what?
I beg for the robots. I beg for the robots.
It really is. That's the only answer I can see. All right, listen. Spaghetti, are you done there? Because I want to wrap it up. I'm done, here.
And I'll just put a bow on it here. I just literally just came across that Hunter Wendelstadt had a they did the pool reporter. They talked to them, and he basically said that because Aaron Boone's responsible for the team, that he's still deserving of being kicked out of the game. And so it's like, he's not going to get suspended, and he essentially could have cost the Yankees a game. Who knows? And they're going to continue messing the game up. Like baseball isn't, like, just keep adding to the list of the issues with baseball. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
No, it's a rite of spring where every spring Angel Hernandez costs a team a game and every baseball fan goes, no way, that guy's still umpiring? Didn't he lose his lawsuit? Like, it's a shock. And it's like, oh yeah, that guy's never gonna lose his job.
I mean, you know, I read about some girls in West Virginia in a middle school who decided not to compete with something because of a transgender issue. You know, the merit of doing that is besides the point, except to say, for real, why don't Major League Baseball teams just one day, like when Adrian Hernandez is behind the dish, just like, much like New Heisel and Pete Carroll did on my radio show forever ago, and be like, okay, we're publicly saying here, we're both going to take 15-yard delay of game penalties because we're both going to wear our home jerseys in this game and make that agreement in advance. Why can't two Major League teams, especially late April, early May, just go like, no, we're not going to play today. We're not going to play for this crap. We work too hard. There's too much on the line professionally for all of us here to have it come down to this goon.
I love it.
Why wouldn't that work?
I love it. And you've done other things. You've got the overtime rule changed in the NFL. I think this can be your new crusade. But where are you going to find two teams that have both been screwed by Angel Hernandez? Oh, right, that's every team.
Let's take a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
During Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin Weiss tells Mark Gunnels why he's absolutely had it with C.J. McCollum and the struggling play of the New Orleans Pelicans.
I know you mentioned C.J. McCollum earlier. He kind of sold, and he had a good look at the end. You know, that was actually
kind of sold. He's been terrible for the last four games that the Pelicans have played have been for, I don't say all the marbles, but four major things, right? From the end of the regular season, game 82, to the first play-in, to the second play-in, to now game one of that series, C.J. McCollum has been whatever. You know they say, oh, this guy's never going to have to buy a drink in this city again? C.J. McCollum's going to have to buy every single drink he ever wants to drink the way that he's playing. It's like it was always kind of a questionable fit, but the bottom line is that team is better when the bench is on the floor. It's just it's better with Alvarado. It's better with Trey Murphy. You know, I'm not necessarily telling you got to bench Brandon Ingram, but it's better with Larry Nance out there as opposed to Valanciunas. Even though Valanciunas does have a matchup they need to exploit and put Chet's, I need to eat a sandwich self in the backboard a few times. And he was trying to get there. You know, you could see him being like, do y'all not see who's guarding me? Slim Fast over here, give me the rock. But that team is better with the bench. Like, Trey Murphy has got to play over C.J. McCollum. Like, all due respect NBPA president, but he's got to go.
Did your dad give you any send you any text messages during the game? You know, he's a Pelicans fan in New Orleans, if you don't know where to live.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to give Eddie more work to bleep all the stuff out. But let's just say he's not a fan of CJ.
Okay.
Not a fan at all. Not a fan of CJ McCollum in the slightest. Because it honestly, though, it is getting ridiculous. And I get you don't want to be rash and make decisions based off of what you're seeing, you know, sometimes. But, like, it is time to make a change.
But they need him, though, Martin. You got to ride with him. I get it. But in their situation right now, especially with no Zion, they're going to need his scoring. And they need him.
His scoring? He's not scoring. That's the problem.
I get it, but you got to ride with him until the wheels fall off.
The wheels are falling off. It's four flats on the back of that Cadillac right now.
Are you saying just to bench him? Like,
he needs to be coming off the bench. He needs to be coming off the bench at this point in his career. He's not a primary scorer anymore. Trey Murphy bases the floor and shoots 40% from three.
But on that team, as they're currently constructed, he needs to be their second option behind Brandon Ingram right now. He has to.
And this is ultimately why they should have drafted Ja Morant.
Oh, gosh. Here we go again. The guy that's not playing right now, too, right?
Neither one is playing right now, champ. Neither one is playing right now.
There you go.
And you already texted. You've conceded. That was the way I laughed when you texted me and said, Zion out again, you win. I got a good hearty laugh out of that.
Just unreal, man. It's just so unfortunate because the guy was playing really good. He made a shot to tie the game. And then I don't know what happened. It's just, they could definitely use him in this series too. This would be an ideal matchup. Like, he would be able to dominate because the OKC is very thin in their front court. Like, he would be able to eat in this matchup. That's why it just really hurts that he's not there.
It's too bad he was spending less time eating in this matchup and more time eating in the world.
It's the spring of 94 all over again on Trendy as myself and Toby Mergler discuss the similarities between the 2024 Knicks squad and the 1994 Knicks squad as the current Knicks are taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. This is the easiest tale, I think, in the history of me doing Trendy. This is the heart. This is the Josh Hart bet. Maybe Brett could change it on the graphic. But quickly first back on the Nuggets Lakers. I mean, yeah, the Nuggets have dominated the Lakers. I think they haven't. What is it, like eight straight or nine straight game wins? I mean, unbelievable. I'm totally with you on this Nuggets dynastic sort of run they may be going on here. I don't want to get into this debate, but, you know, it's a thing where Jokic probably deserves more love than he gets. I'm not sure if that's because where he was born, and I understand the kind of the cultural difference of a guy that's from overseas. And he probably should have won the MVP over Joel Embiid, but you can make the argument Embiid probably should have won a different one. Whatever. He's just a total beast, and, you know, credit to LeBron too for, you know, he's kind of pulling the Sidney Crosby in the NHL of carrying the team on his back. But this Denver Nuggets team is just too good. I did watch that game, and back to my Knicks. I mean, it's just so easy to root for this team. They remind me so much of the team when I was a little toddler, the mid '90s Knicks with Mace and Oak and Ewing and Starks. It's kind of the same thing where instead of your superstar being the center and Patrick Ewing, the superstar now is Jalen Brunson, who is a bona fide superstar, and getting like the play, Josh Hart just being as good as he is, and I don't know, but I mean, locking it down, can hit a three when you need to, and you brought up Embiid, and I think the Knicks' original plan was to use Hardenstein more against him, but we saw how good Mitchell Robinson was against Embiid. Yeah. Like, I mean, his numbers, he was giving him fits, and I know that he's injured. I think trying to force him back, I shouldn't say force, but trying to rehab or get through an injury in the playoffs is never smart. And you could tell that he is not 100%, and he did re-injure himself kind of in the game and was out for a bit. So I think the Knicks may adjust, and they're going to keep Mitchell Robinson on him for a while, which is, I mean, I'm not going to say it's his kryptonite. I probably do agree with you that he will have a dominant 40-plus point game and probably win one, most likely in Philly. But right now, the Garden is rocking. The Garden is eating. It's just like Josh Hart hitting that three at the end of the game. The place was like going to start another earthquake. So I'm with you completely on this Knicks team. They are fired up, and like Tom Thibodeau in the age of load management, and he is like the anti-load management guy. He like grinds them out, but they must love him because they're playing really well for him. So that, this, like I said, is the easiest tale for me in the history of Trendy.
Dude, I mean, you were saying before you went on the air, you never come back to New York in the spring. You come back closer to the holiday season. Mm-hmm. What a spring in New York. What, I mean, I like, this is unbelievable right now.
Have you seen all those similarities between the spring of 94 and this year, like with the OJ stuff, the obviously the him on the 405 happens and he just passed away the spring of 94 to 2024. Then we had the solar eclipse. They had a spring solar eclipse, the same kind of like month that we did here. And then there was another weird one that yesterday, the Mets lost by 10 runs to the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium, and back on the same day, April 21st, 1994, the Mets lost by 10 runs to the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. Obviously, the Rangers won the President's Trophy both seasons, so a lot of weird similarities. Both teams are really good. I mean, I'm not one to believe in that kind of stuff, but man, if they like capped off the season with the Cup and the same similarities, it would just be unbelievable. And let's stop down for a quick break here.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
If you were a projected NFL first-round pick, would you attend the draft in person? Dave Damashek asked Sarah Tiana this question during a brand-new episode of Extra Points.
Sarah Tiana, instead of Dallas Turner, let's say it's Sarah Tiana who's draft eligible. First of all, are you going to the draft or are you staying at home and having your loved ones come to you? Or are you going to the home of one of your loved ones?
I'm going to the draft. And I don't care if I drop to the fourth round. I stay in that room. I don't care.
You're sleeping on the floor at night?
Yeah, I think that said a lot about Will Levis last year, that he stuck around. You know what I mean? Like, I wish he would have come back the next day, because it's like, I said I was coming and I'm going to be here until I get taken. And like, I'm committed to the team. I don't care how you make fun of me, that I'm overlooked, I'm passed over. He proved that he was a really great quarterback and he deserved to be there, and his commitment to the Titans last year. And I think that says a lot. And if I'm going to get drafted in the NFL, I want the full experience. I want to shake Goodell's hand. I want to put the hat on. I want the whole thing I don't want like 32 hats at my house that I have to decide to put on. Like, then I'm just like looking at all the places that I don't want to go. And okay, like,
first of all, you get your name called and you walk out to see Goodell. Are you doing the high hand clasp and the rocking back and forth with him, little dance that he likes to do?
I'm hugging. I'm giving a hug. I'm Southern. We give hugs. Give hugs.
Chest bump.
What are you going to do?
Jumping chest bump. Oh, I don't go. Hug. I don't go. I'm as we've discussed, I have self-esteem issues. Do you think I would deal well if I was like the last guy or one of the second to last, sitting there with my whole family there because of me, how bad I would feel about having caused this, and everybody would feel sad for me. Everybody around the family, like, it's okay, Davey. Don't worry, Dave. Come on. They'll take you tomorrow and it'll be a better, I might be crying by the end of the draft. That would be bad. No one would want me sitting there. I mean, people are upset with Caleb Williams for crying about losing a game. If I were sitting there crying because nobody had drafted me yet, that would also probably ding my, you know, I'd probably drop a round in the draft at least because of my tears, right?
Say I'm Michael Penix, right, this year. And there's rumors that I could drop to the second round, that I could move up. I don't care. I go and I tell my family, hey, I might not get drafted till the third round, but I'm going to be here. You can come with me if you want, but this is my moment. you didn't get drafted in the NFL. I'm getting drafted in the NFL. I'm going to be here. And you can choose to wait with me or you can stay home. I'll come by myself. I don't care. I'm here. I'm committed to football. I'm committed to the league. I'm excited about playing. And I'm going to show that excitement by showing up. I think it's cool that Caleb's going to be there.
Well, and your family also, you to some degree, you can hold them hostage, right? Like with this sort of thing, like, hey, Seth, I know you. You're going to want money in about 3 years. And in success, I'm going to have some. But you're not going to sit with me. You're not going to sleep on the draft room floor with me because I didn't get taken in the first round. Screw. You're not getting any. Mm-hmm. You're not getting a dime out of me down the line, Seth. Never liked you anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have any Seths in my family, but my dad would be there for 4 rounds if he got free drinks. So he would come for sure. Yeah. And he's my biggest fan. I mean, even at my shows, he like waits next to the thank you line. And he's like, I'm Sarah's dad. You know, like it took years for me to get my parents to not sit in the front row. So, you know, I think you have a great support system. I think that shows that you have a great support system around you. I think it shows all of your character based on like, who's there, how long they stay, how chill they are. And if there's free drinks in the green room, I'll be there for 4 days. I don't care.
All right. By September, if not August, you're going to get to erase this for the fan base. But in the short term, at least, what you say, your first remark to Falcons Nation is going to be meaningful. People are going to react to it, pivot off of it, decide whether or not they want to buy your jersey, all that kind of stuff. Hey, here's Dave. I'm here with the Falcons first round draft pick of 2024, Sarah Tiana. Sarah, what are the Falcons? Let everybody know back there in Georgia. What's everybody getting? What are the Atlanta Falcons getting in drafting Sarah Tiana this year? What's your statement here? What are you telling everybody to get excited about?
I would say that you're getting talent, commitment, and a good time. Like, we're going to have fun. My media, my press conferences are going to be chill. Time. Like, you can ask me questions all you want. You can do the heart thing, and I'll just, like, throw that back at you and roast you. Like, no. Like, this is football. It's a fun game. It's supposed to be fun. People make it not fun all the time. And at the end of the day, like, I want to win. I'm going out there to win and compete, but we're also here to have fun because it's a game.
With the Yankees in first place and the Knicks and Rangers both leading their series 2-0, Toby Mergler asked myself on Trendy, how do I power rank the New York sports teams?
We planned this yesterday before last night, and before last night, I kind of felt indulgent. Now it feels a little bit required. We got to do the New York power rankings because, like, as we mentioned earlier in the week on the show yesterday, like, this is the time when all four sports converge. It's like now in late October, the two times of the year it happens. And if I'm to be walking around right now in New York, and like, I love New York. I lived there. It's my favorite city in the world. Wasn't lucky enough to be born there, but I couldn't help that. Got there as soon as I could. If I was walking around and just like, I don't know, in Sheep's Meadow in Central Park or like somewhere in Brooklyn or Queens or whatever it might be, pick your area. Like, what are people talking about the most right now? And so the options, Yankees, Mets, Islanders, Rangers, Knicks, Nets, Giants, Jets. I don't know if the Devils count. You can make the ruling as a native New Yorker. I don't know if the Devils get included in that list. Apologies to like NYFC and Red Bulls and Gotham and Liberty. They're probably not competing with the Knicks given the Knicks heater right now. So where would you power rank like the mainstream teams?
Well, to make the soccer teams feel better, we could put the Devils with them. Being honest again, we could put the Nets with them, and we could probably put the Islanders with them as well. The Islanders are probably more centric to being on Long Island. In the city, you're not really hearing much buzz about it because the city itself, Manhattan, I'm talking about, is being taken over by the teams that play Madison Square Garden, which are the Knicks and the Rangers. The thing is, like, I still think that this is a baseball town. But I think because the sheer amount of people that live here, and then there's a pretty even split between Mets and Yankees fans. Like, obviously the Yankees are the way older franchise, but the Mets have been here quite a while as well, and they have some deep rooted history. And it's the same kind of thing as the Jets. Like, the Jets, not as old as the Giants by any stretch, but they've had enough history here. Obviously Joe Namath back in Super Bowl III. So there's plenty of You know, there's been generations of families who have rooted for just the Jets and just the Mets. So that's what kind of hurts those teams. So that's why I do think like basketball is obviously just more popular than hockey by a lot. So I just think when the Knicks are really good, the vibe in the city is really clinging to them. But I also think because the sheer amount of people that live here, and then like the Yankee hat is the most popular hat probably in America. But so you'd be hard pressed to not have somebody talk about the Yankees around here. So I just think because of the amount of people in New York City that there's probably more Yankee fans. It's easier to be a casual Yankee fan. But when the Knicks are good, I think it really does change the vibe of Manhattan for the New Yorkers who are like striving for that. But I do feel like there is this kind of, I remember in 2014, before I moved out to Los Angeles, when the Rangers did make their cup run, I was shocked about how many, even around Staten Island, like restaurants and just shops, like having Rangers flags hanging. And again, this is not going to compare to the Knicks, I think, but just because hockey is still more of a niche sport. But I think teams are playing the Garden matter, and I think the Yankees are still probably king, but I would have the Knicks right there. And then I think football is a real the Giants probably edge out the Jets just because of the longevity and because of the history of success and having the Super Bowls with Eli and those LT teams, the Parcells. But again, you know, the Rex Ryan Jets years, that was like on Hard Knocks, like a lot of buzz around them. If Aaron Rodgers didn't hurt himself when, you know, this fourth play of his season, I think there's a lot of talent in this Jets team. I think we're going to see that this upcoming NFL season, but there's a lot of buzz around the Jets too. The Jets are a fun story. So I just think if you're listening to like WFAN, you're going to get Jets calls, Giants calls, Yankees calls, and Mets calls. And that's like 98% of your show. So I guess for a final ranking, because I'm kind of filibustering here, I would say Yankees are one. And I would say that when the Knicks are good, that's just a tough thing because when the Knicks have been bad for so long and they stink and the tickets are so expensive, people kind of just zone out. And oh man, but when they are good, it's really tough to beat them. But I'll go
twist right now.
Yeah. Right now. Because I think there's just no interest in the Giants. People are tired of the Giants. They're tired of the lack of success, even after a playoff road victory and just another year picking high. And the Knicks are just they're playing so well right now. And Brunson's becoming the superstar. I'm going to go, maybe it's a slightly hot take. So Yankees are going to be one. Knicks are going to be two. I think the Mets kind of errors and flaws that we've seen flare up, even with this new era with Steve Cohen, I think hurts them a little bit. So maybe I'll go Giants 3, Mets 4, Jets 5, Rangers 6, but that's like an asterisk. That's subject to if they win the cup. I think we'll get a nice little spark. And yeah. Then who am I missing after that? That's pretty much all.
You dismissed everybody else. You dismissed the Nets and the Islanders and everybody else.
They don't register. That's just the truth.
Tough beat for the Islanders that they were relevant last night for all sorts of bad reasons, then instantly overshadowed. So they cannot rise up on Eddie Spaghetti's power rankings list. Giants, add this to your bulletin board material heading into the draft. Spaghetti says no one cares about you right now, given what's going on down the street at the Garden.
Winning does cure everything, but it's a weird thing with baseball. And I learned this from being in Boston for quite a number of years for college and stuff, that even when the Mets and Yankees lose, there's still a story. Like the Yankees losing, it's why are they losing? And that becomes a top story. So there's no real avoiding the Mets and the Yankees. And the same thing, obviously the Mets, the tumultuous, like, you know, ownership changes and all that stuff. So that's always going to be a story there. You're always on people's minds. Whereas the Knicks, unfortunately for a while, you know, when the Knicks were struggling and not being very good, like people kind of push them away. You don't get a lot of calls on WFAN or, you know, even if you listen to ESPN radio or whatever, you don't get a lot of calls on those teams when they're struggling, the basketball team. So and football, it's just because football is just so immensely popular in America. Everyone watches football. They matter. But I think what hurts those teams is that there's an even split between Jets and Giants fans. But and the Jets are the more fun team to cover. The Giants kind of have this boring way about them pretty much. So that's what kind of keeps the Jets in like the limelight a little bit. So I just think the Giants right now, they're just not a fun team. They're in this weird purgatory that kind of hurts them.
Yeah. Look, New York is such a melting pot, right? And so a lot of people are going to bring their football team with them when they move there, but they might have a little more adaptability in baseball and basketball. Yet With ticket prices in the Garden, basketball is hard to get to. Football is all the way in Jersey. It is a massive pain to get to those games. The Yankees is just right off the train, 81 dates a year, and tickets are $40-$50. And so it's easier to adapt the Yankees and everybody else within the melting pot, which I think is going to help grow. You have the native New Yorkers and then people that move there and kind of become adaptive New Yorkers. They're an easy team to gravitate towards.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the Bronx a little bit easier to get to if you're in Brooklyn or Staten Island or even downtown Manhattan. That's why MSG is so great, because it's just like it's in the center. That's it's so easy when like when Mecca is right there. It's only a 5-minute train ride or even a quick cab ride if you need to be. And that's why you're 100% right, Toby. Like the amount, the ticket prices to get into that building, that's what stinks. Like, yes, it's cool to see Sting and Selena Gomez and Stephen A. and whoever else sitting on the sideline, the court side there. But it's like, They're not even paying for those tickets, and they could easily afford them. Whereas, like, you know, me and Joe Schmo want to go to these games and see them, and the get in price is probably what, $300, $350, whatever, plus tax. Yeah. So, and then you got to pay $22 for a beer and a hot dog. It's just it stinks. So, but like when that place is buzzing, that's the place to be. There's nothing like it at all whatsoever. I would say Yankee Stadium during those dynastic years, the Jeter teams, the Posadas, Bernie Williams, like that place was crazy. And my dad like didn't miss opening day back in the day when they were, you know, winning all those championships in the mid to late 90s. And that was at the Yankee Stadium for an outdoor place was so loud in the old stadium. So that was another great one, too. So, I would say it does fluctuate a little bit. But all in all, this is a baseball town.